Hello, I'm here with Stepan Kumandara and your film Made in EU, which takes us back to the time of the COVID-19 epidemic in Bulgaria, where a textile worker becomes the first official confirmed case of COVID in her village and a witch hunt starts. This film is based in a true story. When did you first encounter that story and decide to turn it into a feature?
So first, I must say that this is not a movie about COVID. This is a movie about something much worse, about pandemic that is much worse comparing to COVID. The name of this pandemic is the wild globalization. The story of the movie, first years of working on this subject was much before the COVID pandemic. Everything started in 2018 and 2019, because in this period there was a big research in Bulgaria by this famous world campaign called Clean Clothes Campaign. Even part of France were involved in the research of Clean Clothes Campaign. They did a research about the exploitation and conditions of work in the Bulgarian small textile factories that are far from Sofia and from the big towns. The result of this research was published in 2019, and it was completely shocked for me, because the conclusion was that the exploitation of these textile factories is much worse comparing to the usual place that we are thinking in these cases of exploitation, like Bangladesh, India, etc. And somehow the conclusion was that Bulgaria becomes something, and also other countries from the Eastern Europe, they become something like internal third world of the European Union. You can still find this research if you open the website of Clean Clothes Campaign and you can write Bulgaria. You can see the research in 2019. This research was the beginning for me to start working on this subject.
So did you speak to actual factory workers in that area?
Yes. The next step was to... So in 2019, I decided to make a movie about this, but I was missing the story, the dramaturgical line. I discovered when the COVID arrived, because everything that you saw in the movie, it's real. There was a real case of accused textile worker, a female textile worker in one factory in the town of Pleven. She was accused to be the first, the patient zero. After this, there was a lot of information about big outbreaks of the disease, again in a textile factory, because of the terrible condition, because of the lack of any majors, etc. And mainly because the very small salary of the textile workers was divided in two. The first half was fixed salary. The second part of the salary was the bonus presents. And there was a lot of cases that already ill workers were taking pills in order to enter and to work, not to lose half of the salary. So all these things were real, and we joke a lot with my co-scriptwriter. There is no bigger scriptwriter than the real life. Also, the story about the old doctor who returned to work in the hospital in... Oh, this was also something that happened during the corona crisis. We visited some factories. Some of factories was not possible to visit because the owner said that they are not happy with this. But of course, we visit many factories in order to be real.
One shocking thing about the story is that the colleagues of the woman who becomes patient zero so readily turn against her, even though they experience the same repression and they know firsthand of what course. Happens in the factory. What are your thoughts on that? And why do you think are people so cruel to each other, even if they're actually their fate is linked and suffering?
But this is not something new. It's all psychological mechanism. When you are in a crisis, there was really an accumulation of crisis. Political, financing, COVID, military, a lot of crisis. So we are talking about the creation of something that we can call crisis consciousness. And when we have this consciousness, of course, there is a lot of anxiety between us. So lack of security. There is a lack of trust between the people who are in the power and the rest of the population. So the old psychological mechanism, when you have all these feelings of anxiety and psychological difficulties, to find someone to blame. And this is very, very old, very working. You deal with your own responsibility. I'm not responsible. He or she is responsible. I'm in white and there is who to blame. This is something that we see every day. And
was it hard to shoot in the area and to research these issues? As I could imagine that both factory owners would push back against a story like that and that people would be scared to talk about it.
Well, we shot not in this kind of town. We shot two different towns. The interior of the factory was shot in one town, and the rest was shot, the exteriors were shot in another town in the mountain where there is not this kind of factories. So there was no any danger. The first factory was existing factory of the Bulgarian owners, already in bankruptcy, because for them was not possible to exist in the concurrence with all these big brands that were coming to use the cheap local, not emigrated labor force in these small towns. So there were somehow, let's say, that these people who they were also victim of this situation. So they were on our side.
Your film is called Made in EU. So there's the strong conscience that the EU is also responsible for this situation. What do you think would have to happen to prevent cruel working condition and exploitation like it is there?
To go first to talk about this, and second to talk about what is possible to change in the reality today. Because somehow we become member of the European Union 18 years ago. So we are already 18 years old in this European Union. So maybe it's time to go out from this role of kids and to become adults. And the adults has the right to say this is good for us and this is not so good for us, because we lost one third of the population because of immigration. We lost also a lot of industry that was working before. Of course, we receive many positive things also. It's not black and white. What are the positive things and the negative things?
There is also, especially in the final scenes, this aspect of the other more wealthy EU countries, Germany especially. How do you see their responsibility and also their complicity in this kind of exploitation?
But you know that if there is a possibility to make easy money, why not to make it? This is the situation and they're using. But the thing is that more and more I hear to talk again about this idea about the Europe on two different speeds. And these divisions, when we talk about world globalization, well, the world globalization is deepening the inequalities in the country and also between the country. We must not close our eyes about the division in the EU between North and South, between East and West, between all member states and new member states. This is the reality and we must deal with this. And not to say everything is perfect, we are living in the best time of the humanity and everything is perfect.
Your film has been compared a lot with the classic tradition of social conscious drama, mm-hmm. like Ken Loach. Are there artistic influences? And how do you feel about this label?
Yeah, happy, because really Ken Loach and some other film directors are influencing me a lot. And they are my favorite and they are my teachers. So this can only make me happy.
You have also a very stark, specific visual, these dark colors, the desaturated colors. How do you find your visual?
We are working a lot. Years before the shooting, we are working with my director of photography on the future picture of the film. We are trying many different things. We are making a lot of video tests until we can find, we are watching together a lot of shots in order to find the dramaturgically right picture to the story. Because the picture, it's not something something that is divided from the story. It must be something that is together.
You said it's not a film about COVID, but still I feel I have to at least go back to one aspect, and that is the scapegoating, which is very intense. It just happened also so much in Germany, and I think in almost all places, that people were literally looking for scapegoats. If you had COVID, either somebody gave it to you or you were to blame. There were only these two options. You were either the victim or you were the perpetrator. How do you feel about this period?
It was a period of crisis. One of the many crises that we have the last years. Now we have military crisis, the fear of the war, it's coming, etc. Somehow it seems that more fear from COVID, from war, from everything is very, something that is not very bad for the people who are in the power, because this is a way to control the society. And for them, the COVID was really great.
There has always been this link of the lower working class and especially the underclass with illness and disease, that the underclass is seen as a herd of disease. Were you conscious of that connection, and what does it mean for your film?
Somehow, my first profession, I was a doctor. And I worked 5 years as a doctor. And from the beginning of the changes in Bulgaria from 89, there was a lot of, let's say, new mantras, new ideology. And one of these was that the state, everything must not be part of the state, because the state is something very bad, and that the invisible hand of the market will resolve all the problems in a magical way. I'm not against the invisible hand of the market. In the field of business, economic, etc., this is great. But when this invisible hand of the market is entering in the film fields like medicine, education, like culture, the results are disaster. In my country, you can see this in the health system, in the educational system, etc., that somehow this is also answering to your question.
When you present this film to an audience, what do you hope will they take away from it, especially in a more wealthy country like Italy, France, Germany, UK?
We have already few audience hours there. So somehow the audience reacted very well. It was very funny. One of the audience hours that we took was in this big festival in Gijón in Spain, where the first screening was in a very big cinema hall that it was in a shopping mall. And of course, I did a lot of joke that after the movie they can go upstairs to Zara and to check the etiquettes or what it's written. Somehow they like the joke and they give us the audience hour between 95 films. So, but you know, when we did the world premiere in Venice. First, of course, for me was a pledge. I said that when I present the film to the local audience, I said that for me, I see a very beautiful irony in the fact that our film will have world premiere, especially in the country where is the capital of the fashion industry. In the discussion after the movie, even the Italian, they told us we have the same problem in Italy, because the North is exploiting the south of Italy. So the Bulgarian problems are not so unique. They are everywhere in the world there is this kind of problems.
Are you already working on a new project that you like to mention?
We have very advanced script and we are preparing the shooting. I hope that this year we will do the shooting. It's called The Block Universe. The title is coming from the famous theory of Albert Einstein, that everything in the universe is happening simultaneously in the block of the universe. In the block, you have the three dimension of the space plus the dimension of the time. Everything is fixed. Everything is happening. It's a story of one ambulance, Sophia Street, in 5 different periods with the same crew. We see them when they are 20-something until they are 60-something. It's very difficult, very ambitious project. We joke that we invented a new genre, social sci-fi, because the last episode is in the future. It's very difficult, but very ambitious.
It sounds very exciting, very Twilight Zone-like. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for this interview, Stefan Komanderev. And Made in EU is now in cinemas, and you can read or review at Movie Break. Thank you.
Thank you.